verse 8 and 9, it says that he was passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Here he was in the wrong neighborhood, and he was there at night. He was in the wrong place. He shouldn't have been there. Now, I don't know if any of y'all remember that show, Hee Haw. Yeah, so the younger people won't remember that, but that's, you know, back in the day, you know, it was a Western or cowboy show. And I remember there was a guy on there, he was named Doc Campbell. I don't know if y'all remember him. But I remember a patient came to him, and the patient said, "Doc, I broke my arm in two places." And Doc Campbell said, "Well, you need to stay out of both places." That's some pretty good advice. You need to stay out of both places.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Where Did the Young Man Go Wrong? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Where Did the Young Man Go Wrong?
I'm going to ask that you would look at Proverbs chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading in verse 22. And it says here, "He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction stocks, till an arrow strike through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, and knoweth not that it was for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend unto the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to go her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death." And this morning, we see a young man who is on the verge of extinction. We see a couple of pictures here in this passage. First of all, it says that this young man is like an ox that's going to the slaughter. An ox that's going to the slaughter. Now, there were, as I searched for a picture this morning, there were many pictures that I saw that I could have chosen, but they were too graphic. So I didn't want to put the graphic pictures up there. So I found a nice picture of a bull or ox that's been marked and that is on his way to the slaughter. And we don't have to go into any detail this morning, but we know what the slaughterhouse is all about. And if you've ever seen any pictures of animals being slaughtered, you know that's a brutal and vicious thing that takes place. It also says that he's like a fool in the correction stocks. The correction stocks were those yokes that they put upon the neck and the hands and sometimes on the feet when somebody had done something wrong, and they put them there for correction, and oftentimes they would whip them or they would beat them, but it was a time of punishment. It was a time of brutal suffering. Wow. The Bible says that this young man that we're talking about today, that he's ended up in this place. He's like an ox going to the slaughter. It says that he's like a fool in the correction stocks. And now the NIV throws in a little something different, but let me give you the picture that the NIV points, and it says it's like a deer that's going into a trap. A deer that's going into a trap. And the sad thing is, and again, not wanting to be too graphic this morning, but the idea is that when the deer goes into the trap, the writer of Proverbs says, waiting to be shot through with an arrow. We talked about arrows this morning already. And so the deer going into the trap can't go anywhere else. And the idea is now it's just waiting to be shot through with the arrow. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty bad situation to be in. And then finally, it tells us that he was like a bird hastening to the snare. Now, we all know the end result of this, right? You all know the end result of what's going to happen here. That as soon as that bird takes that piece of food, what's going to happen? That noose is going to come up and you got fried chicken. No, just kidding. But this is an awful, if you think about it, it's an awful situation to be in. And when we deal with temptation, when we talk about temptation this morning, we see that this is where the person who dabbles with temptation ends up in one of these four positions. And so when temptation comes, if we succumb to temptation, there's nothing but bad that's going to happen to us. Sometimes we think that we can skate and get away with it, but eventually it's going to catch up to us. It's like the little kids, they were going to school one day, and one of the kids dropped their sandwich on the ground, and it went all over the place, and they tried to pick it back up and put it back together again, but they left a little piece of bologna on the ground, and there was a fly that was sitting on the handle of a lawnmower. And the fly went down there and ate some bologna and came back and sat on the handle. The fly went back down again, ate some bologna, and came and sat back up on the handle. Now, the fly was full, didn't need any more, but the bologna was laying there, and it was very tempting. And so the fly flew back down, and this time it was so full that landed on the ground and went splat and died. Somebody said, man, why you tell that story? Well, there's a moral to the story, and that is don't fly off the handle when you're full of bologna. And my book of jokes is coming out this Christmas. So it lets us know that nothing good comes out of temptation. Now, lest we think that we are immune, let me just share with you that temptation is all around us. It is all around us. And I pulled up some things, and these mostly deal with sexual temptations because that's what we're dealing with in the passage this morning. But when you look at some of the things that are all around us, it's just amazing that 74% of men say that they would step out on their partners if they knew they were able to do it and get away with it. 74%. Wow. That's pretty deep. You know, 68% of women said the same thing, that if they had the green light for an affair and there was no chance of their current partner finding out, that they would do it. More than 70% of men 18 through 34 visit a pornographic site in a typical month. 70% of young men 18 through 34 visit a pornographic site in a typical month. Temptation is all around us. 50% of men, this was a couple of years ago, in attendance at a Promise Keepers event were involved in pornography within a week of attending the event. 50% of the guys at the event. This is scary right here. This is scary. The average age of first internet exposure to pornography is 11 years old. 11 years old. And so we see that temptation is not just for adults, but temptation trickles down and reaches the young people. If you go to that next slide. And see, parents, this is why we need to have some kind of filter or some type of device that monitors our children and their computer activity, because 1 in 7 children who use the internet have been sexually solicited. And that's not because they've been looking for it. That's because somebody is looking for them. And so we see that, you know, it cannot be escaped. It's all around us. The internet, email, and chat rooms are making it easier for people to engage in infidelity. Temptation is all around us. As much as the computer has been a blessing to society, I know it's a blessing to me. You know, I find myself now, if somebody asks a question that you don't have the answer to right now, I got one of them Siri. You know, then you ask the question, and they answer it. And so it's a blessing. You look at how it even has been personally a blessing to you. And yet and still, as much of a blessing as it is, we see that on the other end of the spectrum, it's a curse to many people. It's an enslavement to many people. Men are more likely to cheat than women, but as women become more financially independent, women are starting to act more like men with respect to infidelity. As more and more women enter the workforce, office romances are becoming more common. Spouses often spend more time with coworkers than with each other. And so temptation is all around. And as we look at this young man who was in Proverbs chapter 7, we see that it was all around him. Now, what is temptation? Before we get into the passage, what is temptation? Temptation is a taboo object or person which is enticing to the individual to whom it is forbidden. So just think about what you are tempted to. And I know that, you know, we can talk about food temptations, and we can talk about material temptations. But this morning, you know, we're focusing more on sexual temptations because, you know, we live in a society where you can't get around it. You know, just if you know, just go on your computer, ads that pop up, you know, seductive, enticing. So it's all around us. And so there has to be, and hopefully we'll help somebody out this morning, because it has to be. You can do as much as you want to try to avoid it, but it's coming after you. It's coming after you. You know, there was a lady who said that, you know, I'm not going to deal with the devil anymore. And so she said, I'm going to lock myself in my house, and I'm not coming out anymore. But let me tell you this, that even if you do something like that, the devil got a way of kind of finding his way through the keyhole. You know, he's coming in. He's coming in. So, you know, we have to, you know, make ourselves strong. We have to be able to stand up in the midst of this temptation that's around us. Now, what are the sources of temptation? And I'm not going to look up these verses, but, you know, you can look them. You probably already read them before. But number one, the main source of temptation, without a doubt, is Satan. He's the main source. He's the father of temptation. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, and then he even tempted. He was so bad. The devil was so bad that he even tried to tempt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if he tried to tempt Jesus Christ, who was God, the Son of God, do you think that you're going to get away? Absolutely no way. If he went after Jesus, you know he's coming after you. But here's the problem, which is the second point, is that the source of temptation is the lust of the heart. See, you have to realize where your heart is at. Because, and let me say this, I think I'm going to say it in a second, but I'll go ahead and say it now, that temptation is not a sin. Temptation is not a sin. Because if temptation was a sin, then that means that Jesus Christ sinned. So temptation is not a sin. But what is a sin? The lust of the heart. That when your heart lusts, and that's why we have to work diligently at keeping, as the writer of Proverbs said earlier, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart, what you allow to go in, because out of your heart flow the issues of life. And I like this. You know, we had on Hard Questions the other day, somebody wrote in and asked, does God tempt people with evil? And the question is absolutely not. You know, they brought that verse in the Lord's Prayer where it says, lead us not into temptation. And so we dealt with that whole idea right there. Why do we have to pray, lead us not into temptation? And the fact is that God does not lead anybody to do evil. And so we thank God for that. If you go to that next slide. So I said temptation is not a sin. So here we go, right? How does this work? You got temptation. You got lust, which is in your heart. Temptation is which is outside. You got lust, according to James, which is in your heart. So at that point, right? Oh, praise God. At that point, you're still all right. You haven't sinned. You're still all right at that point. And you can't let it go to that third level, which is action. Because when temptation and lust come together and you act upon it, then that's when sin takes place. And so we understand that this is how temptation, and we're going to see it in the story this morning with this young man. Same exact thing that happened. Been happening for centuries. And so you got to realize that, watch this. There's a couple things that you got to do, and we'll talk about this in a second, that you either got to put yourself in a place where you reduce the temptation or minimize the temptation, or you got to put yourself in a place where you can control your heart. Because thank you. All right, because it's mighty quiet in here this morning. Mighty quiet in here this morning. But that's all right. That's all right. We're going to roll on. We're going to roll on. So, you know, you have to, you know, put yourself up in a place where you are minimized or avoiding temptation, or you got to put yourself in a place where you're controlling your heart and the lust that wants to come out, or, you know, both of them. Now, what are some types of temptation? What are some types of temptation? Well, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, John lets us know that there are three types of temptation. There's the lust of the flesh, right, which is could be laziness, envy, hatred. You know, those could be examples of lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes, people of the opposite sex, and, you know, we used to say people of the opposite sex, and that's all we said. Now, we can roll right in there, people of the same sex, right? Material things, food, the pride of life, which is power, promotion, and praise. And so these are things that tempt individuals that they have to deal with. Now, we look at this young man, and how did he get in this predicament? How did he get in this place where he's trapped and waiting to be destroyed? Oh, how did he get to this place where he was being consumed by something that he should have never even had to deal with? And so as we consider how did he get to this particular place, let's look at the passage. First of all, in verse 7, we see that the young man was simple. Look at verse 7. And I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth, a young man void of understanding. How did he get here? He got here because he was simple. And any time that we put ourselves in a place and we entertain temptation for a period of time, we are simple. Now, you might be the wisest person in the world, but when you flirt around with temptation, you are simple. Plain and simple as that. Now, look at this definition of the word simple. You know, the Hebrew word is pati, and it refers to one who is easily led, gullible, or silly. The basic verb idea is to be open, spacious, wide. and might relate to the immature or simple one who is open. Oh, watch this now. Who is open to all types of enticement. Open to all types of enticement. And it's just everywhere. And if you're open to it, guess what? Come on in, come on in, come on in, and have a seat. You're simple. Hopefully I'm not talking to anybody this morning, but you're simple. If you are dealing with temptation and you are opening yourself up to temptation, you are simple. Not having developed a discriminating judgment of to what is right or wrong. That means discernment. That if you are walking with God and you are trying to stay focused on God, that when temptation comes your way, that you're going to be discerning right at that moment. And you're going to say, ah, I see what's happening here. I understand what's happening here. But when you're not discerning like this, like we're going to see with this guy, you just wander right on in to the temptation. So we see a couple things about this guy. Now, before I look at this guy, I want to say one more thing as we introduce the passage. All right, go to that next slide. And that is that in this passage, temptation is personified as a harlot. So, we don't want to think, because sometimes, the scripture has been accused of being hard on the females, right? So in this passage, it's not being hard on the females, but what it is doing is that it is personifying temptation as a harlot. So that's the analogy that's being made there. So as we look at this passage, we see that the young man went wrong in three places. First of all, he descended to the wrong places. Secondly, he dealt with the wrong people. And third, he desired the wrong pleasures. Where are you at? Where are you at today? Are you hanging in the wrong places? Are you hanging out with the wrong people? And are you satisfying your desires with the wrong pleasures? Verse 8 and 9, it says that he was passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Here he was in the wrong neighborhood, and he was there at night. He was in the wrong place. He shouldn't have been there. Now, I don't know if any of y'all remember that show, Hee Haw. Yeah, so the younger people won't remember that, but that's, back in the day, it was a Western or cowboy show. And I remember there was a guy on there, he was named Doc Campbell. I don't know if y'all remember him, but I remember a patient came to him, and the patient said, "Doc, I broke my arm in two places." And Doc Campbell said, "Well, you need to stay out of both places." That's some pretty good advice. You need to stay out of both places, right? I remember I was talking to a gentleman. He was dealing with addiction. And I was talking to him about, giving his life to the Lord. And he prayed then. And I was actually able to lead this guy to the Lord. He prayed and accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And then I remember telling him, because there was a place, I grew up in Braddock, and there was a place in Braddock called Sixth Street. And at the time, that's where all the drug addicts.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Where Did the Young Man Go Wrong? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Where Did the Young Man Go Wrong? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, Where Did the Young Man Go Wrong? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Where Did the Young Man Go Wrong? or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.